Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
Thank you, Jesus. As surely as the night goes away and the sun rises in the morning, the seasons in the heavenly is changing. And where you are right now is not where you're going to be tomorrow. And the darkness that may surround you and the defeats and the agony and the fright and all the things that are going on, it's changing. And as you submit to me and you gather wisdom and you relax in my word that and the confidence that I am in control, as surely as you are here this morning, the seasons will change in the natural as the sun comes up and the grace and power of God comes upon your life. And my power comes into your circumstances and my spirit begins to move and calm the waters. I can say to you this morning that I am your God. I haven't forgotten you. I know where you're at. I know what's going on. And my spirit will change the very atmosphere that is around you.
Yes.
Will change the very circumstances that are oppressing you this morning. And the very accusations that are coming against you, I will curse them. And you will prosper in the land that I have called you to.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
I want to welcome you to the sanctuary, and if you're listening online, we're certainly glad you're here. If you're in the cafe, thank you for joining us. We are kicking off this teaching series called Game Changers. Now, what is a game changer? I want to take a minute and just tickle your imagination, your memory. Has there been a moment in your life that changed everything, like in an instant of time? How many of you have had that experience? That's a game changer. Let me define it this way. A game changer, and you can write this down. You've got a teaching outline right here. A game changer is a new factor that changes the present and opens up a new future. So it's a new factor, something that starts up that produces a new future. Okay, so for example, a couple of game changers in history. How many of you think that the invention of fire was probably a game changer? That was it. You know, that's a game. It's like, so I don't know how it happened, okay, but somewhere somebody was just knocking some rocks together or whatever, and there was some hay, and, you know, they'd been eating raw meat or whatever for a long, long time. All of a sudden, there's fire. That's a game changer, right? Or whoever invented the wheel. I mean, you know, people were dragging stuff across the dirt for however long it was, and then somebody thought, let's invent a wheel. And that's a game changer. When the first cup of coffee was made, that is a game changer. Come on, America, that is like, now you get up in the morning, you have coffee, it's a life-changing moment. And so this is kind of what I'm talking about. Now, my observation about life is this, that most of life is kind of like football. We could call life a game of inches. Right? You push, you shove, you're just trying to get, for every once in a while you can make a big gain, but most of the time you're scrapping for the inches financially. You're scrapping for the inches with your family situation and you're just hoping to make progress and you're faithful at it. You're doing your part. You know, you're sticking to the program of being married or raising children or being a good employee. And it's not very dramatic and it's not very exciting sometimes. Sometimes it's just, you're just pushing to get to the goalpost and it can seem like it's gonna take forever to get there, but eventually you get there. But every once in a while, something happens in the game of life, right? That completely, it's a new factor. It just, you weren't expecting it, but suddenly it changes the whole game. And it puts momentum in your life, and it gives you a sense of, I can do this, and you might even end up way far down the field, if you want to put it in football terms. That's something, that person, that event, that revelation, that decision that helps helps us make a major leap forward, that is a game changer. It changes the status quo, and it sets us up for victory. Now, here's what I want to say to us. God wants to release some game changers into our lives. I believe, I loved Lyndall's prophetic word earlier. I just said, like, now is the time. This is the season. And I really feel like this summer, if we'll pay attention to the Lord, if we'll be extra attentive to Him, He will do things for us and speak things to us that could be those factors that take our life to a brand new level. And it's okay if you're just plodding along and just fighting for the inches, but I want you to, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But I don't want you to forget that God is a miracle God too. Amen. That God is a God of surprises. And as we are faithfully just plugging away, sometimes God will release something to us that just changes everything and brings us to a new level in our career or our family or our ministry or our spiritual life. Those are the things I believe God wants to just upgrade us in. So who's ready for a game changer? Let me just take a poll. You like to have a game changer? Get your faith up. Because again, life is sometimes just inches. And that's okay. God wants us to be faithful in that. But keep one ear open. And keep your faith up to believe that, hey, at any moment, God could give you a key that would change everything. Now, this kind of thing called game changers, I talked to our staff and I asked them, what are some game-changing things that have made a big difference in your life? And they put together some really cool game changers, and we're going to be tweeting these game changers out every day for the next 6 weeks. We're going to be tweeting out game changers from our staff. So if you're not on Facebook and Twitter, get on and jump into the conversation and check out some of the staff and what they have discovered as game changers in their lives. Give them a hand. That's our staff team. And we have a lot of teams. We have our elder team and our board team and so many teams in the church. But I love our staff. They're doing a great job. And they have pretty good wisdom. Aren't those good principles? And there are so many principles that we could talk about in this series and things that have changed my life and been game changers for me and for our leaders. But there's one game changer that I want to focus on today, and that is the game changer or the principle of unstoppable unity. Everyone say unstoppable unity. This one is a game changer. This one, if you get a hold of this principle, it's like a key that will release such power in so many areas of your life. I want you to think about, you know, your marriage, your financial life, your family life, your ministry life. This one will help you. Now, here's the principle. The principle is that unity releases unstoppable power and makes impossible things possible. Yeah. Unity releases unstoppable power in your life and makes impossible things suddenly become possible. Now, we're going to read from the 11th chapter of Genesis, a passage of scripture that I'm sure you've heard before, but let's just look at it. I'm going to put it up on the screen in the New Living Translation, and I'll read it for you. It says, at one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words. As people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia and settled there. They began saying to each other, let's make bricks and harden them with fire. Then they said, come and let's build. Now watch this. This is interesting because they're just making their bricks. And they're like, oh, we're just going to make our bricks. Sometimes that's what life is, right? But then they said, come, let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world. But the Lord came down, and watch God's comment about this unity thing. Look, he said, the people are united. They all speak the same language. After this, nothing that they set out to do will be impossible for them. I'll read that again. The people are united, and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down and confuse the people with different languages. Then they won't be able to understand each other. In that way, the Lord scattered them all over the world, and they stopped building the city. That is why the city was called Babel, because that is where the Lord confused. Babel means confusion. That is where the Lord confused the people with different languages. In this way, he scattered them all over the world. What an interesting story. In the book of Genesis, one of the earliest stories in Scripture, a story of people coming together. Now, their intent was evil. They were trying to do something that did not please the Lord, and that's why the Lord stopped it. You wouldn't think that building a city would be an evil thing, but their purpose was to become famous. It was about greed. It was about creating a system that would make them better, more powerful. And God said, this unity is a scary thing, because so they have tapped into the game-changing principle of unity. And if they get to that point, then nothing that they do will be impossible for them. And actually, what's in their heart is evil, so I need to break it up. And this is where miscommunication started. This is where marriage problems were birthed, right here, guys, right here. It's right there, and we haven't been speaking the same language ever since, so we have to work hard to recapture that place of unity. But think about this. In light of your marriage, your family, what would game-changing unity mean in your world? Matthew 18 verse 19 and 20. This is what Jesus promised. He said, I mean this. And this is the Message translation. I mean this. Matthew 18, 19 and 20. When two of you get together on anything at all and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into what?
Action.
See, when people come together in his name, not for their purpose, but when they come together in his name for his purpose, then God Almighty jumps into action. That's a game changer. And when then two or three of you are together because of me, you can be sure that I'll be there. In fact, we know based on this promise that Jesus Christ is present right here, right now.
Amen.
Because we are gathered in his name. He is present through the Holy Spirit. And nothing is impossible. We can ask according to his will, and we know that it will be done for us. There is power in unity. And Jesus understood that. And this is why when he prayed that famous prayer in John 17, this is what he said. He's talking to the Father, and he says, Father, that they, now take a pencil or a pen and circle a couple of words. Father, that they all may be what?
One.
Circle that. That they may all be one, as you are in me and I am in you, that then they may be in us. For by this unity, circle that word. Everyone say unity.
Unity.
For by this unity, the world will believe that you sent me. Now that scripture has a special meaning for me these last few days and weeks as I've just been trying to position myself and my time to have a greater impact on our city. For so long, I've just focused on our church, and the church has grown, and that's been great, and I feel like this is my primary calling, and that's not gonna change. And I've kind of been a loose connection to the city pastors and unity. But what I'm starting to realize is that the world is not gonna know who Jesus is until the body of Christ comes together.
Amen.
Right.
Right. This is an important prayer. This has to be a priority for me.
Amen.
If it's inconvenient, that's okay. If it's more work, I'm up to it. By God's grace, I want to see in my lifetime a greater unity. I want to see one undivided church in Santa Clara County. That's worth working for. And it takes time, and it can be frustrating, and we're moving across cultural lines and racial lines and language lines and geographical lines, and it's in many ways it's kind of a nightmare to think about. It's really tough to do. It's like herding cats. But this scripture just doesn't. We're not going to get the job done as one church, just Gateway. We've got to be the church. And we've got to see the answer to Jesus' prayer come to pass in Santa Clara County. Amen?
Amen.
We've got to be one. And this thing about unity, now I'm talking about the church and the region and all that, but what about your family? What about your team? What about your production team at work? What if there was greater unity? What would happen to productivity? What would happen to your happiness factor, your joy factor, your peace factor? What would happen in your home if more decisions were not a point of contention, but a point of unity and agreement? Jesus would be there in it, and a supernatural power would be released.
Amen.
So I want to just give you three reasons why unity is a game changer this morning. You can just jot these down if you like. And I'm going to break out some scriptural principles, and we're going to just hammer this thing home about unity and why unity is a game changer. Are you ready? Number one, unity brings victory. Unity is a powerful force to create exponential victory in our lives. Look at Leviticus 26, verse 8. Five of you will be able to defeat 100. That's pretty good. Hey, when God's on your side, you got five people and you can take 100, that's awesome. But look what he says. 100 will be able to defeat 10,000. I'm not a math major, but that's exponential increase, right? If we can get hundreds of people together, do you think we can make an impact on Santa Clara County?
Yeah.
If we get thousands of people together, the devil doesn't have a chance, right? There's a victory in unity. And it's the same thing in your marriage or in your family or in your production line. If people can get together, if they can start working together, instead of noticing all the problems and noticing all the points of disagreement, if we can just create a greater unity in our spheres of life, then we are going to have a great exponential power to win. And that's what we want. We want to win in life. Amen.
Amen.
You see the Lone Ranger and Tonto?
Yeah.
They were riding through the canyon together. Good buddies, man. Just coming through the canyon, and suddenly, as they're in the middle of the canyon, they look up, and there on both sides of the ridge, hundreds of warriors decked out in war paint and weapons. Ready for the attack. Indians as far as they could see. And the Lone Ranger leans over to Tonto and he says, "Tonto, we have a problem." And Tonto said, "What do you mean we, white man?" Sometimes unity breaks down. You have to understand. But we've got to be together. We got to be in this together, if we're going to win. One shall put 1,000 to flight, two shall put 10,000. This is an amazing promise. And this is where we've got to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is trying to do. Now today we're going to have communion at the end of the service. That's going to be in a few minutes from now. But I want you just to think about this, how the enemy is working overtime to create disunity in your life. Why is he doing that? Why is that happening in your marriage and between your children and maybe in your workplace? Why is the enemy working so hard to create division? Because he doesn't want you to win.
That's right.
And here's the thing. If you get into atmospheres and environments where there is unity, there is going to be victory. Amen? The level of our unity, jot this down. The level of our unity determines the level of our blessing. I can tell you, Apostle C is here. We have a long history together. Our church is, we didn't just start our church last week. This church goes back to the early 70s, and even before that. And all those years, and some of you have been here through the highs and lows of what's happened in our church. And I can tell you this, that when there were seasons of disunity in our church, the church suffered and we never won. We didn't win souls. We didn't win the lot. We didn't win. We were depressed. We were discouraged. It is very painful when a church is going through a season of disunity. Now, we haven't had one for a long, long time, and I'm not scheduling any seasons of disunity, right? But I can tell you that the moment that we're in right now as a church, we've never been more fruitful. God's helping us to do great, great things. It's never been better for us. I feel like we're just getting started. I don't feel like we're the greatest church in the world, but I feel like we're excited and we've got momentum, and I'll tell you why. It's because there's unity. The level of unity determines the level of blessing and victory. So we've got to guard that unity and keep it in our homes and our families and our churches and our marriages. And let's not even get started on the nation. Right now, our country is very divided. And I'm, of all the things that I'm nervous about, it's not about which party is doing what. What's got me concerned about our country right now is that we don't feel deeply united as a country. And we need to pray, folks. We need to pray that that's going to change and that God will heal us as a country, because I'm concerned, because I understand this principle. We cannot be blessed as a nation unless we understand this unity factor. Number two, I think another reason why unity is a game changer is because unity releases destiny. Now, I wish I had a lot of time to drive home this point. You need to read the book of Ruth, because this really, it's a beautiful book, and it really drives home exactly this release of destiny. But let me just read a portion from the first chapter of Ruth that illustrates this point. Ruth is speaking, and she says, "Stop pushing me away, insisting that I stop following you." Isn't it interesting how some people will push you away? Have you ever had somebody act out on you? Just kind of throw jazz at you for no reason at all? They're pushing you away. "Stop pushing me away, insisting that I am not with you. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people." This is unity talk, isn't it? "Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die and be buried there near you. May the Eternal One, may God Himself punish me if anything besides death comes between us." Now, Ruth, the story is that Ruth and Naomi had a shared destiny. They were family, and a tragedy came to them, and famine came to them, and it looked like everything was lost. And Naomi was so hurt with this devastating circumstance that came to her family that she started pushing Ruth, her daughter-in-law, away and saying, "You know, we're not us anymore. We're not a family anymore. We've lost too much. There's no reason for us to be together. There's nothing in the we anymore." And so many people that I know are at that point in their marriage, or with a friendship. "There's nothing there anymore. Let's just call it quits. Let's give up." And I want to say to you, the word of the Lord to you is, don't give up.
Amen.
Because unity releases destiny. So Ruth says to her mother-in-law, "Why are you pushing me away? I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to stay connected. Let's continue as a family." And when that happened, They made their trip to Bethlehem, where Ruth met and married the wealthy kinsman Boaz. Their fortunes changed. Naomi came into money. Ruth came into money. Family was reborn, right? Suddenly, instantly, they're wealthy. And out of that, the miracle, the great miracle of the birth of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus was descended from the union, years later, from the union of Ruth and Boaz. And had that family broken up, here's what I'm trying to say. Had that family broken up, Christ would not have been born in that way. That you and I are saved today because somebody got stubborn about sticking together.
Amen.
Unity releases destiny. And today we can know Christ as Savior because of that power. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
Think about the consequences of decisions and how important it is that we understand God relationships, God assignments in our relationships, and that we not just cheapen that by saying, well, I can get another friend, I can get another spouse, I can get another, you know, partner, I can get another friend, I can get another church, all that is replaceable, I can just... But sometimes when God is bringing certain arrangements into our life, we need to stick with that. And as we do, we come into a place of blessing. Now, here's the third one, and... I want to share that unity triggers revival. Everyone say revival.
Revival.
Wow. And this is what was a part of the early church. Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all with what? One accord. Wow. Everyone say one accord.
One accord.
One accord. That was a unity. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. You go follow that powerful phrase, one accord. You follow it through Scripture, right? In the book of Acts, it occurs five times. And if you want a definition of revival, look at that phrase, in one accord, because every time they were in one accord, something like this happened. The Holy Spirit was poured out. People came to Christ. The people were filled with boldness. The people were filled with grace, and signs and wonders broke out. What I'm describing to you is not just, hey, we're all on the same page, you know, yeah, yeah. But it's like a supernatural revival thing can take place when God's people come together. Say, Pastor David, why would you be interested in sowing time and energy into trying to help the body of Christ to come together in Santa Clara County? Because I want to see revival.
Amen.
Why? Why do I want to see revival? What's the big deal about revival? Woo, it'll be fun. We'll have great services, right? Is that why? No, let me tell you why I want to see revival. I'm not looking for a funner service. I'm looking for souls.
Yes.
And you can write this down. When the church is revived, the lost will be awakened.
Amen.
My friend Francis Anfuso has a book entitled, When the Church is Revived, the Lost will be awakened. How many of you think that's worth fighting for, right?
Amen.
Well, the band is here, and the ushers are going to go ahead and prepare for communion. We've got a few minutes to go here, but you guys can just get into place as we get ready for communion. But I want to share just for another 5 minutes or so. Can I talk to us about two unstoppable unity moments? Two moments that I think God wants us to look for in our lives that are very important. And these are moments. Everyone say moments.
Moments.
Your life changes in a moment. It changes in a moment of time. One is when we're tender enough to be reconciled. That is a moment in your marriage. That is a moment in your family. You have something going on in your family. I want you to look for this moment. The moment when there is such tenderness that there can be reconciliation. Matthew 5, Jesus said, go to your brother, repent, forgive one another, and be reconciled.
Hallelujah.
And then return to the altar and offer your gift to God. That is a moment that restores unity in a marriage. Listen to me very carefully. Married couples, ministry team partners, team members. When you are tender enough to go to someone and say, hey, my bad. I'm sorry. Or did I hurt you? Because I didn't mean to hurt you. And I would never hurt you. Please forgive me. Right? See, life is a game of inches. But when you make that track, when you get that, that's a touchdown right there. That's a moment when you are tender enough to be reconciled and you save a relationship. Do you really want to lose that relationship? Do you want to win the argument? Or do you want to win the relationship? As believers, we are in the business of winning relationships. Not arguments. And you can be reconciled without reckoning every detail.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah, but we're going to have it out. We're going to have words, and we're going to get this fixed. Sometimes you don't need to go through every detail. Sometimes you just need to say, hey, I'm sorry. I don't want to break relationship with you. Let's start over. My bad. Everyone say, my bad. Bill Hybels says, true unity is not the absence of conflict, but the presence of a reconciling spirit.
Hallelujah.
You're going to have fights. You're going to have disagreements in any family, on any team. But if you have a reconciling spirit, watch this. Now, there's one more moment, and then we're going to receive communion together. We're going to have some time to sing and worship, but let me give you just one more point. Here's an unstoppable moment when we are humble enough to honor one another. We're talking about unity here this morning, Gateway City Church, May 4th, 2014. We're talking about unity and how powerful it is. And here's what I want to say. Here's a moment I want you to look for in your world, in your life. I want you to look for a moment when you are humble enough to honor someone else. Yeah. Be of the same mind, Paul said, by having the same love, being united in spirit and having one purpose, instead of being motivated by selfish ambition. What am I going to get out of it? Instead of that being your motivation, each of you should, in humility, be moved, motivated to treat one another as, say it with me, more important than yourself. Here's where most division takes place on a team, a family, wherever. It's when we insist on, I'm going to have my way. My comfort, my thing, my point is the most important. Scripture flips it around and just says, you know what? I'm not going to fight about this. I'm going to honor you. You're my wife. You're my father. You're my son. Let's don't separate over this.
Hallelujah.
You are more important than my comfort.
That's right.
You watch what'll happen. When you have those reconciling moments and you have those humbling moments and you can actually honor someone and say, you know what? You're my wife. Let's do it your way. You're my boss. Let's do this your way. No problem. Right? That is a problem stopper and a game changer.
Amen.
That's a relationship mender, and it's something that we need so much in our lives. Let me bring this to a conclusion. God wants to release game-changing unity in our lives because it brings victory and destiny and revival. Let's look for those moments where we can get traction, where God will change the circumstances of our family and our teams and our relationships through reconciliation and grace. Father, I pray for your people right now. Lord, as we come into a time of just worship, I pray, Lord, for a release of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I'm asking you to have your way in this service. As we worship you, would you do a miracle in our hearts? Bring us to moments of game-changing unity. Guys, go ahead, serve the people. Worship team, let's spend a few minutes just worshiping the Lord.
Thank you.
Oh, we thank you for the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for choosing to die for us so that our sins might be washed away. Lord, all of us have sinned. There is no one that's perfect. But I thank you, Jesus, that you loved us anyway, and that in our sin you came for us, knowing that the only cleanser, the only purifier for our unrighteousness was your shed blood, and you willingly shed that for us so that we could be saved, so that we could be in right relationship with you and the Father. Lord, thank you for that. That is so valuable to us. And thank you, Lord, that day by day when we fail, we don't try to fail, we don't want to fail, but we do, Lord. And that your grace is sufficient for us. That the cross not only took care of our past sins, but it took care of our present sins and our future sins. You died one time for us, Lord, and you declared us righteous, and we praise you for that. We come to your table, Lord, to celebrate the great victory of your lifeblood being shed for us and what that means for our lives and for our homes and for our emotions. And we just draw right now. We break the power of condemnation, Lord. That consciousness, that guilty conscience, the consciousness of sin, Lord, break it from us, Lord, right now. And let us all believe together that we are standing in your presence, Lord, holy and acceptable before you. Thank you for that. We remember that as we partake of the cup together in Jesus' name. Let's drink the cup together. The cup is about the shed lifeblood of Jesus. That's what that's all about. Now the bread tells a different story. The bread is the body. Jesus said, "This is my body." And when we think of the body of Jesus, we don't think just of his physical body, but we think of the New Testament teaching, which is that we are the body of Christ, and that we are to be one unbroken, connected group of people. What happens goes all the way back to Babel, the confusion. Goes all the way back to miscommunication. What's coming out of my mouth somehow lands in your ear differently. And there's offenses and there's hurts, marriage problems, fathers that are at odds with their daughters and their sons, and moms that are mad at aunts, and even people in church walk the other way when they see somebody coming. But the miracle of the cross is that that gets fixed if we choose it. He's a healer of our relationships. We're one in him. If you've never received Christ, you couldn't understand that miracle of forgiveness or that miracle of being a part of a fellowship, a community where there's unity. You can receive him now. You can say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Cleanse me, wash me. Give me a spiritual family. Bless my natural family. Join my relationship." So today, let's pray a prayer over our relationships. That the power of division would just utterly be broken in our homes and our churches. And let's pray a prayer for the game changer of unity to take shape in us. Can we do that together? Lord, we ask you, having heard this message on unity, we ask, Lord, that we would be one in our families, that we would be one in the church. We pray that we would be one in the Santa Clara County, Lord, that believers in Christ everywhere, we wouldn't badmouth each other anymore or struggle or say, "Well, we don't hang out with those people because they're not as spiritual as us," or "Those are the crazy people." No, Lord, if you follow Jesus, you're my brother, you're my sister. Lord, I pray that you would do a miracle, a game-changing miracle of unity in our lives as we partake of this bread. Let judgment, division, jealousy, envy, unforgiveness, let it all be broken, Lord. Cleanse us of that in Jesus' name. Let's take the bread together, everyone. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe the bread is going to taste better in heaven. But for now, praise the Lord. It's just a symbol. Would you stand together with me? Let's pass our cups in toward the aisle. We're going to bring this service to a conclusion. I'm so glad that you came today. I'm so glad that we could be together, have this conversation, prepare our hearts for all that God wants to do in our lives. We've had time in God's presence. And I want to lead us in a prayer. The prayer is going to be up on the screen. This is a prayer for us to kind of interact with this message and say amen to it. Give the Lord permission to do new things. I started the service off by saying God wants to do some game changers, release some game changers into my life. Do you believe that this week, let me ask you this, do you believe that this week could be the week that a game changer starts, that something new happens and your life, it could be today. God will give you a principle. He'll give you a revelation. He'll give you a friendship, a connection, a relationship. Maybe even something that you know about is coming this week and you're dreading it and you're just saying, oh, this is going to be awful. But actually, God's framed it up as a blessing for you if you'll get your faith up to receive it. So let's pray this prayer. And if you're unsure in your relationship with Jesus as Lord and Savior, pray it with extra gusto and let's get connected to Jesus by making him Lord and Savior. In fact, our prayer teams are coming right now as we get ready to say this prayer. And once we're done with the prayer, service is dismissed. And if you need any kind of prayer, any help for your family, or just need someone to agree with you about your spiritual life, we're going to be right up here. These good men and women are available. Let's say this prayer together. Come on, church. Father God, thank you for the unstoppable power of unity. Lord Jesus, I ask you to cleanse my heart of sin and offense. Remove the pride that blocks your power. Pour out the spirit of revival and reconciliation on my family, my friends. Oh, let's say that part again. Pour out the spirit of revival and reconciliation on my family, my friends, my church, and my valley. Say it, and my valley. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Now give the Lord a hand clap and let's shout a victory shout to God. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. I love each and every one of you. Thanks for being at Gateway today. Take a minute, high five somebody, elbow pop them, fist bump them, do something. Say hello to your brothers and sisters. Be blessed. And if you need prayer, join these good people at the front.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.